Welcome to Freedom Cast, a podcast dedicated to interviewing star icons and entrepreneurs who have encouraged others to become more healthy and active. My name is Ashton, and it's my pleasure to host you as we take another trip through the fitness industry. It's entertaining and informative, and I hope it makes fitness more exciting and special to you in your own fitness journey. Freedom Cast is supported by Freedom Fitness Equipment in Charlotte, North Carolina. Freedom Fitness Equipment serves the health and fitness community nationwide, from free weights and strength equipment for home gyms and studios to cardio and conditioning equipment for commercial spaces. Check them out at freedomfitnessequipment.com. Let's get rolling with today's show. Well, welcome to Freedom Cast, ladies and gentlemen. We're here with Kevin DeHaven. Did I say that right?
You did.
Excellent. At the Elite Fitness Gym, and we're in Huntersville, North Carolina. I was just telling Kevin when I walked in that this is the kind of gym that if I built my own, this is exactly what it would look like. He's got, there's a gym tour that's coming out in tandem with this podcast episode. And if you take a look, 90% of the equipment is, strength equipment is plate loaded, few selectorized pieces, and then cardio in the back. It's exactly how I like it. So
it's absolutely my kind of gym as well.
Very nice. Well, welcome. Kevin, can you give us a little bit about your background and how the gym came to be?
Well, this gym has been here for almost 30 years. My background, I guess, just to back up and start from the beginning for me is how I got involved in fitness to begin with, is when I was a young man and just even getting out of high school and stuff, I always wanted to be bigger and more muscular and I wanted to train, but I lived a very different lifestyle for many years and I just never had the time for that. I got to a point where I was doing a lot of manual labor jobs and basically was just, I'll say partying, but it was more than partying for years. And I decided I needed to do something different, and I kind of got into, joined a gym, kind of got back together as far as the ripping and running and the partying went, and really fell in love with it, man, once I got started training. I also got involved in working in a health food store at the time. It was a GNC franchise, which is very different than working at a traditional GNC store today. It was actually run like an independent mom and pop shop. It was really cool because back then a lot of these products that are, you know, are out now weren't out. It was very innovative. I remember I brought in the original creatine, which was called Phosphagen from a company called California Body Club. And then EAS bought the product. So, you know, a lot of products then were just starting to become cutting edge where there's really ingredients and products that were coming on the market that actually were effective and made a difference. So it was really cool to be a part of that time really early on. And so that's how I kind of started off with my whole fitness thing. Worked at that store for a while. I continued to train. I did my first bodybuilding show at the age of 26, I believe. In that store, I got hooked up with some guys, Europa Sports Products, who actually are based in Charlotte. And I bought a lot of product from them, and I became good friends with a couple of the sales guys there. And I ended up finding myself down here in North Carolina because I was originally from Northern Virginia. And so I moved down here in 1996, I believe it was. So I started, I was a sales rep for Europa Sports Products. I continued to train and do bodybuilding. I worked there for about 3 years. Then I went on to work for ISS Research, Oh Yeah Bars, then they were the One Bar, worked for BPI Sports. And then at some point, you know, I continued to train throughout this whole process. And I lived in Charlotte for about 2 years, and I moved up here to Huntersville where the gym is. So I've been training at this gym for 22 years. I've owned it for a couple. But this gym is something that it always kind of stood out. And, you know, we would drive up here on the weekends from Charlotte to train here. We had a couple other really good options down in Charlotte at the time. But so that's you know, how long I've been training here. But, yeah, just kind of it got to a point where the corporate lifestyle and those jobs, I was just kind of done with them. I'm very fortunate to also be an MPC show promoter. So I have 5 bodybuilding shows that I promote. So I left the corporate world, started coming to the gym more. I started training people to fill up some of my time in a way to generate some revenue. Did my bodybuilding shows, and then I've had a couple supplement companies over the years too. So about 2 years ago, there was an opportunity for me to purchase this gym from Cornelius Parkin, who's a good buddy of mine, and I took advantage of it. And you know, that's been a couple years, like I say, and it's just been growing. Once we got through the first part of COVID, man, this gym has just been blowing up ever since. Our membership base is about 8 times what it was when I first purchased it, for sure.
Yeah. So what's your member base now?
Well, we're over 800. When I bought it, I probably had 150.
What?
Yeah. I mean,
you have 800 members.
Yeah.
And how many square feet is this?
6,000.
Wow.
Yeah.
So, wow, that's impressive. Yeah. So how did you do that in 2 years?
Well, I mean, I think there's a lot of things, right? The gym's always been what it is. It's great equipment, like you noticed when you first walked in the door. I think, you know, with COVID, honestly, man, we closed down for close to 2 months like everybody else, which kind of really sucked because I just bought the gym. So 3 months after I purchased the gym, I had to shut it down. I remember making that decision that day, and I'd called a couple of the other gyms in the area. And, man, I put a note on the door, and the next day I was in here putting paper on the windows, and it really sucked. For me, fortunately, I had a place to train still, but for everybody else, it was really bad. And then once we came out of that, man, we were open when some of the bigger corporate gyms weren't, so that helped tremendously. And then I brought a partner on for the gym. He's been in the industry for 27 years. He's owned 70 or 80 fitness clubs himself. I realized pretty quickly that I couldn't train people, do nutrition plans, clean the gym, run the gym, sign up new members. I just couldn't do it all that effectively. And it became really clear to me that I needed to get some help. So I reached out to him, and then he started handling the memberships and the advertising, and really hired and trained the sales staff, which we've been fortunate to have a couple really good people to manage the club since I owned it. And from there, it's just kind of taken off. I mean, this gym has been here so long, a lot of people have driven by it for years and don't even realize it's a gym. Like, I'll have people walk in here and they go, how long have you been here? And they're like, this gym's been here almost 30 years. And like, I've driven past it for 10 years and never even noticed it. Well, it gets a lot more recognition now because the parking lot's always full. That's one thing for sure. We're working on doing some things to upgrade the gym and whatnot. But, once we started getting more people coming in, but one of the things I think people were really reluctant and they were a little standoffish, and they kind of thought it was just like a really hardcore, like meathead gym. That was kind of the stigma we had. And look, don't get me wrong. We do have some bodybuilders and some powerlifters and some strongmen and some people that I like to say maybe are a little more serious about their training than at some of the other gyms. But the thing that I love and the thing I'm so proud about with this club is that the culture here is, I don't care whether you're a bodybuilder or a powerlifter or just a mom, you know, soccer mom or whatever, just an average person. If you come in here, there's not really a lot of egos, man. And people are always helping each other out, right? So everybody's videoing at times, but it's not crazy like some other gyms. And people are very courteous to each other. People put their weights away. So my point to that is, once people get in here and actually experience and train here, they're like, it's nothing like what they expected or nothing like what they had thought, you know. And that, to me, is one of the things I think is most important and I'm so proud of, is just the culture and the camaraderie and the membership base and how people treat each other in here.
Check that video one time just to make sure it's still on. You mentioned supplements, and you've owned a couple since you started?
When I left BPI Sports, I started training people. Like I said, I had the 5 shows. So, I'm fortunate I had some multiple revenue streams. So, I didn't take a big hit from leaving a real job, so to speak. I started Interval Nutrition. And I just made, I've been in the sports nutrition industry for, 25 years at this point. And there were some great products, Intranourish, LipoNourish, PreNourish, ThermoNourish. So I had 4 basic core products. But I made some mistakes as far as some decisions I made to keep it out of certain places and to stick with certain people. And those were on me. I mean, I knew the industry was really changing. But I still thought that I had enough relationships in certain areas that I could make it work. And I was just wrong, but I was fortunate that another company came around and they one of my products in particular, they really liked. So I actually did sell that company, even though it was never really that successful. And then I had a little deal going where it worked out pretty well for me. And then just recently, ever since that's going away, I've always wanted to get back into supplements because it's just what I did for so long. But in this day and age, just to come out with a pre-workout, it's not a real smart idea. You know what I mean? So I have a buddy of mine that has a premier hormone health, And one day we were sitting talking in my office, and I work a little bit with him with the hormone health company. But we were talking about supplements, and it just kind of came to me. I'm like, you know what? It doesn't have to be sports nutrition. It's more health and wellness. So coupled with working with him and kind of focusing and targeting not only the people here in the gym, but the clients for the hormone health company, you know, we had like a more captive audience, and kind of I could envision a direction that I wanted to go. And we got plenty of people that, you know, in the gym and whatnot that buy the products. But really, you know, I've got liver health, a heart health product, a lipo burn, a lipo health, which is a non-stimulant based fat burner that's very effective. And then working on a multivitamin I should have probably this week or next week for sure. And then a pro digest product, which is a combination of probiotics, digestive enzymes, and some apple cider vinegar. So that'll be the core six products. And you know, it's doing pretty well so far. We're really just starting to ramp up the advertising and, you know, figure out how we really want to get it out there. But yeah, I think it's going to do really well.
I am really curious about the supplement industry because I haven't been able to talk to very many people about it. So what are some of the things that you learned along the way? Were you distributing to grocery stores and health clubs, or like what was your distribution process?
Well, when I worked for Europa Sports, right, we handled all the health food stores and gyms all over the country. Then as the industry grew, grocery stores, convenience stores, all that. When I was working for the supplement companies, same thing. When I got to BPI, I handled some of the corporate accounts, the vitamin shops and stuff. But what the industry has done is really just transferred over to basically all direct to consumer. So that's really the way you got to go now. There's still some really great stores that can move some product. We saw a good bit here in the gym, nothing crazy, but for a small gym, we do really well. But yeah, if you're not direct to consumer, man, you're going to die. And that's part of one of the main mistakes I made with interval nutrition is I didn't go right on to Amazon when I should have. I was trying to hold back and trying to stay just with brick and mortar, as we called it at the time, through distribution. And again, I had the relationships to get the product placed on the shelves, but it's just changed so much. Like back in the day when I was running a store and you walked into the store, I would sell you what I wanted to sell you, and I would sell you what I believed in. Not that never happens anymore, but it's just not as much. Like, you got a store that's got shelves loaded with product, and a customer comes in and they go get what they want or what they heard about on Instagram or on the internet, and they take it to the counter. You know, not that some of these stores don't do a good job at directing and guiding people to buy quality products, but it's just changed so much. It's, yeah, if you're not direct to consumer, you're probably not going to make it.
What are they doing on the, you mentioned the social media side of things from an advertising standpoint? How has that changed over time? I know it's more like more direct to consumer, but what kinds of things are they doing now they weren't?
Well, I just think I never did a ton of advertising on social media again. Like with Interval, I made some mistakes. That's one of them. With Premier RX, we really haven't started doing much yet. That's kind of what I'm looking at doing now. I had a meeting today with a company I think can help us a lot with some different ways to get to the consumer. But I know as far as I can speak to like Instagram and Facebook is that, as most people know, these algorithms have just changed so much. I'm not really well versed on it, and it's almost impossible to keep up with. So yeah, you can put a few dollars on an ad and it gets out to a few more people. But as far as how to translate all that into real sales, that's what I'm working on now.
I'm going to go back to what you mentioned with bodybuilding. So why bodybuilding? Why not powerlifting? Why not strongman? Like,
I mean, for me, I guess I just was always more interested in, you know, I like the look of the bodybuilders. I mean, just the big muscular look. I mean, it always appealed to me, and ripped abs and whatnot. I mean, that's something I always wanted. And just, again, for years, I just didn't take the time to put in the work. I was too busy working in other areas. But powerlifting, I mean, I always enjoyed lifting as heavy as possible, but I don't know, I'm probably not built for powerlifting. And, you know, I had a few injuries early on that kind of showed me that it's probably not where I need to be. I've always tried to lift as heavy as possible, but with a lot of reps and a good bit of volume. You know, I mean, for me, a set doesn't really start till you hit 10. You know what I mean? When I do my super heavy sets, you know, it's usually 15 reps or 20 reps or drop sets, you know, so it's just a little different. And, you know, as far as getting under a ridiculous amount of weight at my age, it's not a good idea. But I just I just always train more with volume and moderately heavy weight.
Sure, absolutely. You've got a ton of folks up on your wall. Are these people that you have trained?
Pretty much everybody on this wall is a client of mine or a client of mine and Cornelius's. We had for years Decon Nutrition and Training. We worked together as coaches. There's a few people on the wall that were just clients of his, but most of these people, just about everybody, I did the nutrition, and Cornelius and I would kind of work together on that, and then a lot of the training programs, he did the writing of those. He's really good at the he's probably the smartest guy I know when it comes to supplementation, nutrition, and training. So a lot of the training programs he wrote, but we worked together. But yeah, I had a hand in pretty much everybody on this wall, with the exception of just a couple.
And I saw you got Cutler up on the wall there. Have you been able to meet him?
Oh, Jay's a good friend of mine, man. Yeah, we've got a show together in Virginia, the Jay Cutler Classic MPC show. It is this year, August 13th in Richmond, Virginia. But I met him 2001, maybe? No, 90, either 99 or 2. It might have been 99, actually. I think it was in 1999. He came to North Carolina to do a guest posing at the state show. I was with ISS Research. He actually became pretty friendly with one of my co-workers, Brian Rivers, that worked for ISS as well. They became friendly, and they started. Brian got him a few gigs, just different personal appearances, and then Brian ended up leaving the company. And by then, we had gotten Jay on board as a sponsored athlete. And then him and I became very close after that. So we've, you know, we still talk on the regular, probably once a week, text once a week or whatever. He's always been there for me, always helped me out. You know, he's just a great dude. And then I've helped him with some of the things he's done and get some of the gigs that he's gotten. Some of them he's probably not very happy about. Others I think he is. But nah, man, really good friend, no doubt. He's a genuine guy, and you know, he's one of those guys that I don't reach out to him for a week or two, he'll definitely check on me. So, but yeah, definitely truly a friend for sure.
I was talking with a gentleman in California who's got probably not the same relationship, but a similar relationship. He seems and Jay seems very. Like,
who's the
down
guy in California?
I cannot remember his name right now. He runs a gym out there. I'll have to get you his name.
Okay. Yeah. I was just saying I might know him. I don't know.
Yeah. NPC promotion, and I have never met a promoter before. What's that world like? Because that's very different from even anything else you're doing.
No, so it's really cool, right? It's not really easy to get a show. There's a lot of shows in the country, but it's not like, trust me, there's people that try to get shows every year, but you can only have so many shows. You know, NPC is the greatest organization in the world for amateur bodybuilding, and IFBB Pro League is the greatest organization in the world for professional athletes. But I had the MPC chairman for North Carolina at the time was Mike Valentino back in 2000. Well, I guess I got my first show in 2009, but I've known Mike for years, and I always put a little bug in his ear, like, hey man, if you ever need somebody to promote a show or there's another show that comes available. So I got the one show, and then within the next year or two, he gave me another show. Then I got an opportunity to promote a show in South Carolina. Then I got another opportunity for a show in South Carolina. So that was four shows. And then with Jay, I think that show in Virginia we've had for, this has got to be year nine maybe. So we've had that for a while too. Yeah, it's just, it's not really easy to get into, but once you get into it, it's really cool. So what we do is we've got to find a venue. We promote the show. We got to advertise the show, get the judges, get the hotel, get all the awards. And now it's kind of like a year-round deal. You have to constantly, especially when you have five shows, I'm constantly promoting or working on something. It's not like an all-day-long kind of deal, but every day there's something I have to do to promote these shows. But, yeah, it's awesome, man. I'm very fortunate to have, one show, much less the five that I have.
Sorry, I may have missed it earlier, but what was your into being a promoter?
How did I get into it?
Yeah.
I happen to know the guy who was in charge of North Carolina.
Okay.
And I had just always told him I was interested in it. And an opportunity came where a promoter, a guy who had a couple shows in North Carolina, kind of whatever happened to him, he had some issues and he kind of went away. And there was an opening for a show. And I was just fortunate enough to be, you know, to get that call and be able to take advantage of it. So.
From a practical standpoint, you say promoting the show, but like, what does that mean?
So I have KD Promotions, and then what I do is once I've got the show, basically I was given a time frame as when the show was going to be, because we've got 7 shows in North Carolina, 7 shows in South Carolina. So obviously they have to be spread out throughout the year. Everybody can't have a show in April. Everybody can't have a show in October. So, you know, once I got that time slot, then just coming up with a name, you know, you have to get a sanction from the National Physique Committee, the NPC. And from there you have to, you know, now most everything's done digitally, but you know, you have to create a flyer, you have to secure a venue, a theater or a convention center or whatever. You got judges you got to bring in, you got to book hotel rooms, you got to get your awards. They've streamlined it a little bit. We use a software now where everything is kind of in one place. Once you got your website up, you know, and then I'm promoting it on Facebook, I'm promoting it on Instagram. I have all my information on the website, and then people can go there to register for the show. And then you have to go out and you got to try to find vendors and sponsors for the show. You got to have an MC, you know, you got to have somebody to do the music. You know, there's a lot of moving pieces, man, but it's it's like I said, it's a year-round gig. You have to do a little bit, you know, not necessarily every day, but I'm always working on something. And then as you get closer to the show, then, you know, that Thursday, Friday, Saturday of the show, is you're pretty busy, you know. But, it's awesome, though, man. I mean, when you have a show like that and you've got 150 athletes and everybody's saying the show was run really well and they really enjoyed themselves and it's kind of, you know, a very comfortable environment and a stress-free environment, because there's nothing more stressful than competing for a show, just everything you go through. So that's what we try to do. We really try to make it as comfortable as possible for the athletes, and as stress-free so they can actually enjoy that day, which they have worked their butt off for literally to get to. So
Jim, nutrition and supplement company.
Yeah.
NPC promoter.
Yeah.
What in the world else are you doing? How do you have time?
I got plenty of time, actually. My wife and I do a bunch of stuff with real estate as well. We started buying some houses again. Not trying to get into full renovations. We did that before, and it was kind of a nightmare. It's anybody who's done this and has dealt with contractors knows that it's can be a real mess. But right now the way the market is, just trying to capitalize on some opportunities out there. But I'm always looking for stuff to do, without a doubt. I got to stay busy, and lately I haven't been that busy, but as I'm ramping up the supplement company and the shows are going to start, here, April 2nd is my first show of the year. And once the first show, kicks off, then it's like, you know, every 6 weeks, 4 or 5, 6 weeks, there's another show and another show. So, yep.
Man, that's gotta be a brutal schedule too, but I guess you have, like you were saying, you got a lot of this outsourced in the gym. So is it running itself?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I don't, I'm in my office in the back there. I kind of run all the businesses from my office here. So I have like a home base. So I'm not hemmed up in the house all day long every day. But I've got a great manager and I got staff. So, I mean, honestly, if you ask me for a membership and could I sign you up? The answer is no, not really. I can't, but I know somebody who can.
Very nice. Very nice. You mentioned you've met Jay. Who else along this journey have you been able to kind of hang out with and rub elbows with?
I mean, you know, I've been, ever since I got into sports nutrition industry and worked for these companies, you know, I've been to the Arnold Classic probably 18 times. I mean, they're having it. I think it's just in like 4 weeks or so, but I didn't miss an Arnold Classic for probably the first, from like 1996 to probably, you know, 4 or 5 years ago, maybe, is when I stopped going every year. So every year I was at the Arnold, I was at the Olympia almost every year. So yeah, I mean, knowing Jay and then just being in that environment and being at these shows and being at these huge expos, I mean, I've met pretty much everybody. I mean, I'm from Northern Virginia. Don Long came out of Northern Virginia back in the day. Kevin Lavroni was right there in Maryland. There's a bunch of pros that came out of that area. So I've always interacted with a lot of these people. But yeah, I've got a lot of friends and acquaintances and people I've met throughout the years, for sure.
Any plans to go? You've got some apparel. Any plans to go like full bore into any apparel of any type?
No, probably not. I mean, the gym does really well selling, you know, the hoodies and the beach hoodies and the t-shirts. Actually, my partner's really surprised that I sell as many t-shirts as I do. It's a little bit of a way to generate a little extra revenue, but more importantly, it's just about, promoting and pushing your brand and getting that out there and just having people wear your stuff. But no, I don't think I'm going to get into the apparel any deeper than I am at this point, but you never know.
What's the makeup of the membership here as far as are more people, you mentioned early on, especially it was kind of seen as a meathead gym, but it had transformed a little bit. So what do you think the makeup is in terms of people's training styles now?
It really varies. I mean, it's, you know, I would say it's 80% just normal everyday folks, I guess, that just, the one thing I would say about this gym too, is that it's not necessarily, I'm not going to say it's necessarily only hardcore people train here, but the majority of people that train here train a little harder than what I see in other places. You know what I mean? So whether it's a bodybuilder or whether it's the soccer mom or the businessman or whoever, they, when they come in here, they get to work. You know, I mean, most people, they're training pretty hard and a little more intensely than I see at a lot of other places. So again, that's something we're proud of. But yeah, the membership is very diverse and versatile for sure.
Talk to me a little bit. I'm an equipment nerd. So talk to me about some of the pieces you've got in here. Anything you're particularly proud of that you've been able to pick up?
I love all the equipment. I wish I had more room because there's a lot of stuff I'd like. I just got this glute bridge over here recently, brand new piece. So I know a lot of people love that. I've used a lot of those machines over the years. And this one, as far as from a mechanic standpoint, I mean, it really isolates the hamstrings and the glutes. You know, a lot of people like just doing the barbell glute bridges, which works for people. But this is a much more controlled movement. You can really load up the weight. And I love that machine. All my stuff, I wish I had more room to bring more stuff in here. I'd love to have a couple more back pieces, but we've got some of the original hammer strength pieces, not these newer pieces that are about half the size and probably half the quality. Maybe the thing I'm most proud of is probably the leg area. I mean, we have two hack squats. We have that new pendulum squat, which is a recent addition. Got a great Smith machine over there. We have a great extension piece, lying leg curl, seated leg curl, one leg curl. And then we have two leg presses, a nebula, and then a unilateral run over here that's a little higher incline.
I had never seen that before. Yep. That is really neat.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. And then we've got also have the hammer strength vertical press over there in the corner. And we also got a hyperextension machine over there in the corner. I don't know if you noticed that earlier. So we've got some unique pieces. But I guess if I had to say what body part is best represented in this gym, it's probably legs. So
the most undertrained body part of gym bros everywhere.
That's my favorite body part to train, so yeah.
Very nice.
Yep.
So you're obviously, you prefer the plate-loaded equipment. And explain to people why that is.
I don't know that, I mean, I've always liked the plate-loaded stuff a little bit more. I don't have a problem with some of the stacks and the pin stuff. Just depends on the piece. But I think the plate-loaded, I think the weight just feels a little different. I like the resistance a little better. But again, I'm not knocking the plate loaded stuff. I mean, the weight stacks and whatnot, but the plate loaded stuff just seems to feel a little better.
Any plans on, you mentioned space. I mean, any plans to expand this at any point or?
We've actually been thinking about it. I'm not sure if we're going to do it just yet. Right now, kind of off topic, I'm on a septic system here. I've been working for the last 6 months to get hooked up to the county sewer, which we finally have a sewer tap out in the front of the parking lot. So now I'm working on getting the plumbing hooked up. And then we were considering adding on about 3,500 square feet in another building right in the back, kind of going the other direction. But I think I might hold off on that for now. I think we want to get hooked up to the sewer. I want to maybe redo the bathrooms, you know, give the outside a bit of a facelift. And really, the biggest thing we really need for curb appeal and for the members is I need a real parking lot. Like this parking lot, it's asphalt and gravel, but it's just we've expanded and grown so much. I've had to tear down some trees in the back and add more gravel just to make room for people in the capacity. But I think once I can get this plumbing and this sewer thing squared away, I'll, you know, really pave the parking lot properly. That's the first thing I'll do, and then probably the bathrooms. And then maybe in another year or two, look at an additional building.
Would you ever want to franchise a concept like this? Because I would love to see more of these in Charlotte. I'll be honest.
Maybe we've talked about it, but I mean, right now my focus is on just getting this place to be the best gym that it can be and get the membership up a little bit more. I honestly don't want too many more members. The good thing and the bad thing about this gym is, depending on how you look at it, about 80% of my members actually show up, When you go to other gyms, you know, they might have 3,000 members, but they only see 1,000, you know. That's a good way to make money, but like I said, people who tend to train here tend to actually show up and train here, so, which I'm fine with that, but that's, you know, that's the focus for right now, is, you know, a few more members and then really ramp up the personal training. I always envision this place as being a more one-on-one personal training kind of with members. Problem is these days you can't find any trainers that have their own book of business, you know what I mean? So, but we do have a pretty decent personal training clientele, and we got a good personal training staff, so.
Yeah, I was talking with Rebecca over there, and yep. You trained her for bodybuilding, right?
Yep, I trained her. She moved away to California. Well, she moved to Ohio, then Pennsylvania, then Ohio. But it's probably been, she would know better than me, I'm going to guess, 10, 12 years ago? Maybe. I trained her for a couple shows. She did really well. She competed the first year that they had women's physique. So she was doing figure and women's physique. But the women's physique, she won the state show the year that I helped her. And then we took her to the Junior USA. And she didn't do as well there just because when we got there, again, it was the first year for women's physique. And a lot of the girls there were much bigger. They weren't necessarily in the condition she was in, but they were just much bigger. But I think this time around will be very different because she has definitely put on a ton of size and still stayed in very good shape. She actually listens to most of what I tell her, so that's good. But yeah, so we're excited for this year. I think she's gonna do extremely well in figure and in women's physique. I don't usually talk about people turning pro and pro cards. I've had plenty of athletes that have turned pro, probably a couple dozen. But I would be surprised if she doesn't do extremely well this year. Let's put it that way. Yep.
A lot of people don't know how hard it is to, well, especially during COVID, but just in general, run a gym, keep a gym successful. You talked a little bit about culture. What are the one or two things that, I don't know, if somebody's just starting a gym or even coming in and taking over a gym, that you would ask them to consider, that you would find most important looking back in keeping it successful and keeping it growing?
I mean, I think it just depends on what kind of gym you want to be. You know what I mean? You look at somebody like a Planet Fitness or that type of gym, I don't think they really care about the people getting in shape. It's just a numbers thing, right? They want to make it this environment where, I don't know, some people feel comfortable, I guess. But, you know, their thing is just numbers, you know, super cheap membership and just numbers, you know. A business like that relies on people not showing up, you know what I mean? For a gym like this, I think what's most important is just to make sure you're treating your members well, respectfully, making sure you have a clean facility, making sure you have quality equipment that's in good working condition. You know, I don't think you need to be the cheapest, and I don't think you need to be the most expensive. We've always been pretty fair with our pricing. We do have contracts, but it's nothing crazy that you're locked into for a ridiculous amount of time, and it's not a ridiculous amount of money. So I've always looked at it like it needs to be something that's fair for both parties, right? So, I mean, I guess to answer your question, it's just, you know, making sure you have a quality staff, a clean facility, some quality equipment, you know, and just, you know, try to cultivate an atmosphere where it's not all ego and people being inconsiderate, but where people kind of come together and they're helpful to each other and they kind of encourage each other.
From a numbers standpoint, I'm not going to ask you to go into finances particularly for this gym, but my impression is that a lot of the gyms that are successful long term, they've got their base membership number that's essentially just maintaining the gym. The real dollars are coming in from the personal training and maybe even supplements or additional things that they're selling. Have you found that to be the case, or is there situations where even the membership is going to boost you beyond that?
What's that last part of the
question? Is that where the membership is going to boost you even beyond that, just that maintenance number for the gym?
Well, I mean, you know, again, it depends. I mean, everybody wants to make as much money as possible. So, I mean, I know what I need to pay my bills, and I know what I need to make some money. I don't think I capitalize. I think having, again, multiple revenue streams for any person or any business is your key to success. I think if you rely on just one thing, you better be damn good at it, and you better do some serious numbers, right? So, we generate money from our membership. We generate money from the personal training. I generate money from the supplement sales and the cooler and whatnot. So it's really about capitalizing on all those things. So, I mean, you've got to figure out whatever your expenses are and what your bills are and where your break-even point is. And then from there, you know, obviously you just kind of want to kind of grow the business. And, you know, one thing we've talked about here is that, again, because 80% of the people actually show up and use the facility, I don't want, I mean, I'd love 2,000 members, but I wouldn't want 2,000 members. It would be a mess in here. You know, people would be upset because they can't get their equipment. It would be too crowded. The equipment would get beat down. You know what I mean? So there's a lot of things. It can't just be about the money, but it's a business. So, you know, absolutely we want to be successful and be profitable. But there's a lot of things to consider when you're trying to grow. There's definitely a point where you need to say, okay, maybe this is enough for now, or hey, it's time to expand and put that building on that I spoke about.
Brooke, as a bodybuilder, anything important that that somebody should know about staff, especially when you're building that gym culture?
I mean, you know, your manager is probably the most important person, right? I mean, that's the person that should be meeting and greeting a lot of your members. You have front desk staff as well. But you got to have that right person with a personality. They got to be a people person. I think what I like so much, one of the things I like so much about Rebecca is she's really good at the customer service and being nice and polite to people, but also she doesn't take a lot of shit either, right? So especially when you got a bunch of guys that are in here and, you know, their testosterone's flying around because they're trying to get big or whatever, and there's, you know, we have our share of people like that. You got to have somebody that can, like, you know, draw some boundaries and some lines and be professional and courteous, but also, you know, not let people take advantage of you or the facility. So yeah, I think, I mean, that manager is, your staff is absolutely key. Again, I did it for a while and I can do it, but I couldn't do it and everything else I had to do. So finding the right staff is, your staff can make or break you 100%.
I want to talk about some things that, because you've spent, I think, a lot of your career doing the bodybuilding side of things. What are some things about bodybuilding that people just don't know or don't understand? From the limited amount of information I've been able to gather from other people who've been in that sport, it's extremely difficult from a dietary and just building up to that show standpoint. But I don't know, what are some things people haven't heard about that sport?
Well, I mean, what I can say most about bodybuilding, whether it's, you know, bodybuilding or at this point figure or even bikini or women's physique, men's physique, all these different divisions now that they have within the MPC where somebody actually wants to come in and do a competition. I don't do quite as much coaching as I once did, but for years that was a big piece of what I did and where I generated a great deal of my revenue. Specifically when Cornelius and I were working together, there was times where we had up to, you know, 80 or 90 clients at one time, right? But what I would tell people when they would come into the office for the initial meeting, and this is something that everybody should know or hear, and they're going to find out if they do it. Getting ready for a show is probably going to be the hardest thing you've ever done in your life. And when I say that, it's important that I make sure people understand that I'm talking about just using numbers. If you come in to me at 18 or 20% body fat and you get to where you're 6, 7, 8% body fat and you go through what you have to go through to get there, it will be the hardest thing you've ever done in your life. I have had military people, all kinds of military people, law enforcement officers, people have done all kinds of crazy hard jobs, and they're like, oh my God, this is the hardest thing I've ever done. And I'm like, I know, right? But what I tell people is, if you can do it and you can start at point A and get to point B or whatever and actually step on stage and be in shape and you can suffer and show the discipline and dedication that it takes to get there, that's something you can take with you in absolutely any and every area of your life going forward. And it will be something that nobody can ever take from you, because the accomplishment you get from actually setting that goal and fulfilling it, there's nothing like it. I don't know of anything that's even really remotely close to it. It is tough. It requires an enormous amount of work and discipline. And the physical part is one thing, but the mental part is probably the harder part. Yeah.
Any changes in the standards for, I know the size, particularly on the men's side, if I'm not mistaken, has gotten absolutely gigantic, particularly in, I think, Classic, is that right?
Well, Classic's blown up. Men's physique has been huge. The board shorts, I mean, both those divisions. Men's physique is still, hands down, the biggest division out there right now, certainly from the MPC standpoint. Bodybuilding's kind of fallen off, but that's only because guys can go to Classic or guys can go to men's physique now, so there's just multiple divisions. But the, you know, pr- probably bikini and men's physique are your biggest divisions now, bikini for the women and men's physique for the men. But classic is growing. Each year it gets bigger and bigger. Figure for the women, which is not quite bodybuilding. It's more, it's a muscular look, very symmetrical, muscular look with quarter turns as far as poses are concerned. But that's still a very, very big and competitive division. And now they've got, again, the bikini's huge. And then wellness, which is more of from the waist down, a much bigger, rounder, fuller, muscular look for women. That's growing as well. So
any differences in the way that the judging has progressed over time that you've noticed, trends or things, especially recently?
I mean, the judges have a specific criteria they are supposed to follow, and they do follow. I tell this to people all the time. They'll say, well, I should have won, or that person shouldn't have won, or I had this, or I had that, or that's not the criteria. What people have to remember is the judges can only judge what's in front of them, right? So you have your criteria here of what you're looking for, but then you might have, you know, four competitors standing on stage that aren't the most symmetrical, don't have the most muscularity, aren't in the best condition. So then you have to judge what you have. I think ultimately what always seems to happen is as a division comes out, it falls within a certain criteria, is kind of what they're looking for. And as it progresses and gets more and more competitive and it gets more and more popular, it just kind of trends toward being bigger and more muscular, you know? It just seems to be the case. I know they're doing all they can and a good job at trying to toe the line at keeping certain divisions looking a certain way. And it goes up and down. But I think ultimately at the end of the day, once things continue to progress and progress, it just looks like, you know, it goes bigger, bigger, more ripped, you know what I mean? So, but they do the best they can to follow a specific criteria. Just, again, but you can only judge what's in front of you, so.
I mean, is there any way that you see that trend reversing itself and it just going back to more, I don't know, smaller, more vascular or something?
I don't know, yeah. I mean, more shapely, maybe not as hard. Yeah, I mean, you know, I think that'll come and go, but I just think ultimately, again, you can only judge what's in front of you. So if you've got 15 guys on stage and four of them are very aesthetically pleasing and more of like, we'll say a pretty physique, maybe a little rounder, but they're soft. And then you've got, I don't know what number I just gave you, but you got 10 guys that are big, round, pretty aesthetically pleasing and really hard, you know, you're probably going to go that direction. So again, I think it comes down to what's in front of you, but I think the judges in the NPC do a really good job at, you know, trying to define those categories the best they can.
Is there any truth to the, I heard a rumor going around, I follow Bumstead a little bit. Is he planning on switching from,
what's that? Who?
I heard Chris Bumstead.
Oh, I don't know. I mean, I've heard that too. I mean, he could do well in either one, so it's possible. I mean, if the guy gets bigger with that kind of shape and the conditioning he gets in, he'd do great in open bodybuilding, you know. But, I mean, he's also, you know, the Mr. Olympia Classic Physique champion, so I don't know why he would necessarily want to. There's certainly more money. You know, the biggest money is definitely in open bodybuilding. So, I mean, financially, but I mean, that guy is so popular, he makes plenty of money in other areas. So, I don't know. I mean, I've heard that too. Is he going to do it? I don't know. He could be successful either way, either place.
Let's see. Where can people find you on social and also find the gym? I know it's in Huntersville, but...
So Elite Fitness in Huntersville, North Carolina. You can find us on Instagram, Elite Fitness Huntersville, and then also on Facebook. And then we do have a website. And me, you can find me at KD, underscore D Promotions on Instagram. Kevin DeHaven on Facebook. I have a KD-Promotions on Facebook. So you can find me at any of those places. And then my website is KD-Promotions.com.
Are the supplements that you have available online as well?
So, yes, PremierRxFormulas.com. We have a Facebook page. We don't have a Facebook page. I take that back. We have an Instagram page, Premier RX Formulas, but we really haven't, like I said, we're just starting to move towards really ramping that stuff up. Had a conversation today, so I'm excited about getting that going. But definitely PremierRxFormulas.com. Our website is active and rolling.
Anybody who's in the area, even in Greater Charlotte, if you have to drive a little bit, this is the gym to be at. There's very few of you guys around, at least in my opinion, good I'm biased towards powerlifting. This is perfect for that. But just in general, like a really good gym, this is amazing. So you're doing a great job.
Yeah, man. I appreciate it.
Thank you for listening. Please give Freedom Cast a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen to podcasts. It would mean a lot to our business. Plus, it's fun to read y'all's reviews. See you next time.